So let our lips express the holy gospel we profess. So let our words and virtues shine to thus shall we best proclaim abroad the honor of our Savior God, when the salvation reigns with Him and grace and bears our spirits up while we expect that blessed hope, the bright appearance of the Lord, and face as the
we thank you, Father, that we can, by our lives and lips, express your character and teach us what that character is that you want us to express, and teach us how to do that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. There are a few chairs up at the tables. If you would like to use them. I'm going to talk from now till 12 about what happens at Faith Builders in teacher apprenticing. And if I don't finish, we will go from 1 to 1:30. Sorry, but that's what we'll do. What is teacher apprenticing at Faith Builders? Just to help you stay alert, what is the most basic goal at Faith Builders? It's a lot harder to arrive at a goal and to say in one sentence what it is than you might imagine. This goal can be stated in various ways, and maybe you heard Brother Melvin stated a little differently last night, but the goal is to disciple people who can live biblical Christianity and promote biblical Christianity in the world. Wherever they go, whatever they do, wherever they are, to be a Christian. Now, our goal then is to disciple people to be Christian. And by the way, if you see mistakes on this overhead or on your handout, I fully understand that. And it's okay with me if there are some. this all materialized since about 10 o'clock. Disciple, where do you disciple people in life? You disciple people in public. At Faith Builders, we disciple people on Sunday morning, on Wednesday night. That is public meetings. That's one way to disciple people. That's one way to help people understand what the Bible teaches about being a Christian. You can do this in private. There's a lot of different ways to talk with people in private. I mean, a lot of different situations. Private discussion. So you have public discussion, you have private interaction, and this can be about almost anything, in every situation, anywhere. It can be in relation to teaching. It can be in relation to dorm life or curfew or almost anything. Every situation in life is an opportunity to talk with people about how they are living. And this is true of your students too. In fact, I really do believe that the goal of teaching, the goal for parents is to disciple their children. The goal for teachers is to disciple these students whenever they get out of school, at whatever age, that they will be thinking in their mind all the time, how should a Christian live here? We don't educate children so they can be great mechanics or dairy farmers or whatever. They are being prepared to be good people, good Christians. And certainly we want them to have the skills that are necessary to live and function in the world we live in, but we want them to be Christians. So every situation, and I don't mean by this that we take every situation and do something about it this minute, but I'm saying that there are various situations that something can be done. We can talk about how Christians should live in this situation. Now, how do you disciple? And I'd like for you to turn to 2 Timothy 3. How do you disciple? Truth is discipleship is rooted in truth. Becoming Christian is rooted in truth. Learning is rooted in truth. In this verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, discipleship or becoming Christian is rooted in God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so, doctrine, the word doctrine means teaching material. The Scripture, truth is valuable for teaching material. You can use it to teach. And this teaching material is the standard of what is right. Reproof is a rebuke that results in conviction. This is confrontation. I know that's a negative word, but this is saying, helping people understand what is wrong. You tell them first what is right, What is the standard? You tell them, secondly, what is wrong, or you hope they see this. You understand, you don't walk up to someone and say, here's what's right and here you're wrong. And I'm not suggesting you just go through 1, 2, 3 steps and you get this done in 3 minutes. Now, this is a long process sometimes, but first, doctrine is what is right. Second, reproof is helping them see what's wrong. The third word here is correction. And the idea here is to set a medical term used to set a bone. So correction is setting things right or helping people see what can be done to get right. What must I do to change, to be different? So you tell them what's right. Here's the standard. You help them see what they're doing wrong. And then you help them see how they can change, how they can line up
it's like a broken bone. You're going to line this up, set it, get it set right. Help people see how they can change.
And then instruction in righteousness, the last one, has the idea of helping people see how instructing them in how they can stay right. Now, how many of you have these four things? You've got this down? Not many of you. Write it down. You have four things you do. You tell them what's right. You tell them what's wrong. You help them see how to change. You help them see how to stay right. Got those four things? What's right, what's wrong, how they can get right, and how they can stay right. And this will take you the rest of your life.
Yes, that's right. I should have put this on here, but I did.
This will take you the rest of your life, and will take all the energy you have, and it will make you tired, and it'll make you wish you'd never thought about teaching, and it'll make you wish sometimes that you never had any children. It make you wish you could die and go to heaven. But you know what? God's not going to honor your plea. Because he wants to disciple you a little bit too, and he's not ready, he's not done. And you know, somewhere along in life, you're going to have to decide that it's okay. It's okay when you disciple people and you give them, you tell them what's right and you try to help them see what's wrong and you give them some correction, tell them how they can change, and you try to help them stay right, you're going to have to figure out in life somewhere that the pain that goes with doing this is okay. How many of you understand what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? Some of you didn't raise your hands. The Lord have mercy on you. Because you will find out. The most important point in discipling people after those four things is probably to be an example. People disciple. People
Students become what the teacher is, not what the teacher tells them to be. You knew that, didn't you? Students become what the teacher is, not what the teacher tells them to be. Students do what the teacher does, not what teachers tell students to do. Brother Melvin's not in here, but I think about this frequently. Brother Melvin worked with Brother John D. Martin. And there are times when I'm talking to Brother Melvin that Brother John D. Martin is sitting there. Brother Melvin sometimes looks like Brother John. And a lot of times he talks like Brother John. And that is fine. That's just fine. It's fine with me. It's okay with me. But I'm just saying that a good teacher, when he gets done, when she gets done, the pupil is in some way like the teacher, and beware, in more ways like the teacher than the teacher wanted sometimes. So be an example and be a good example of what is right, and of how to be right, and of how to correct your own life. And pupils will follow that. That is a goal at Faith Builders. That is a conscious goal in the apprenticing program. What are we discipling for? What is the goal? It is to help people live a Christian life, to live biblical Christianity. Now, I gave you one of these course catalogs because I want you to take it with you. Pages 6 and 7, I will refer to this book several times. Disciple to promote biblical Christianity. Now, you can read this later, but it's like this. Let's see if I can get this said, Brother John. In America, the way you become a Christian is you say, I trust in Jesus, and I want to feel better about myself. And basically, I want to get rid of my guilt. So, you make some kind of comment like this, that Jesus died for my sins. He died in my place, and he suffered for me. So now I don't have to die, and I don't have to suffer, and I can go to heaven. And what that translates into, for most Christians, for many Christians, is Christ paid it all, and I owe him nothing. And so I can live life the way I want to, and I will still go to heaven. I'm being a little bit severe. Is that too severe, Brother John?
No.
There is a doctrinal, a theological base for this. That Jesus died on the cross and paid the penalty and suffered for us, and we are free from our sin, and we are free. And then the way people perceive that is they're free to live as they want. Now, We don't agree with that, except that we kind of do. That is, really, many of our parents, they feel like they ought to be able to raise their children like they want, and it really frustrates them if these children take up too much of their time and are too much trouble. They did not realize that this thing was going to consume their life. They thought they could get married and have a loving wife or a loving husband and have loving children, and that they could still go to the beach and go to the, They could still do all the things that they'd like to do or have done. They have no clue that this is going to cost them a lot. And students come to school and they don't realize, they do not understand that for them to be productive Christians and responsible Christians, they're going to have to die to about 100% of their selfishness. But your job is, see, to help them see this. Hopefully the parents are on your side. So, our goal at Faith Builders, Disciples for What? Is to help people understand that there is a cost. There is a cost in living the Christian life. It will cost something if you're going to be a good teacher. It will cost you something if you're going to grow in your Christian life, and if you're going to be responsible in the way you relate to your students, this will cost you something. It will cost you to be a responsible Christian. And it might mean that you'll end up teaching in China or Ireland or Costa Rica or at home when things are not pleasant. And our goal is then to help people live appropriately, live biblically, live Christianly. That's no word, is it? To be Christian in all of our relationships and all that we do. Disciple whom? If we could... This idea, which I think I portrayed Sunday inaccurately, and I thought about it when I was finished, our goal would be to get every future parent to Faith Builders, whether they ever teach school or not. If you were here and you heard what Edward said Sunday morning about families and the difficulties with raising children, wouldn't it be nice to somehow make a difference in the way, make a difference in what the way parents raise their children? In the next generation? Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah, how are we going to do that? I think we could do this. We could make some difference. We believe we could. Because we think that whatever we're doing for teachers would be good for every 20-year-old, anyone who wants to be a parent, and then every future teacher. We would love to be able to help prepare every future teacher or every future missionary. Wouldn't that be nice? Now, obviously, you could say, I have an ulterior motive in this. All you want is everybody to come to Faith Builders.
Now, I'm going to tell you, we can't take everybody at Faith Builders. We don't have room for them. And maybe one of these days, we'll have our requirements so high that you have to fight to get in the door. We'd like that. It's not like we just want anybody to come. But we're just saying we think everyone could benefit from an apprenticing teacher training program. What is an apprenticeship? Work-study teacher training program. And we have 4 minutes. And what I'm going to do is is Grace here? Grace Brenneman, yes, Grace. Would you come up here and tell us, you have 4 minutes. Just come up here. Come on, Grace. This is Miss Gracie B. I'm sorry. That's what I call her. Just talk.
He asked me why I came to Faith Builders in the first place and why I'm here now and what it means to apprentice a teacher. I think I came to Faith Builders in 1987 because they were offering courses for people that were interested in college. And I was interested in college. I had asked my school if they ever saw a time in the future when they would require their teachers to have college. And they said no, unless the state would require it. So my parents encouraged me to go to Faith Builders. And I'm glad I went. And as the years have gone by, the thing that I think is really neat is that here we have some really dedicated Christian men like Milo who are interested in meeting the needs of Christian young people. The goals have changed over the years. And I think it's nice that they're wanting to help us. There was about 3 or 4 different apprentices that worked in my schoolroom here at Faith Builders over the last couple years. And hopefully I helped them to know something about teaching, how to take grades or relate to students. But I want to say that I think that I got discipled as well. I learned a lot from my experiences here. This past year, Florence worked with me, and she had about 10 or 15 years of babysitting experience, which was more experience than I had had in a classroom. And so I learned a lot from her about how to relate to children. And she was just a real encouragement to me spiritually. As I look back to the summer terms that I came to Faith Builders, I can still remember Ed Gish's challenge one summer for us, and that was to walk with God in joy and humility. And that still sticks with me, that my walk with God has to be the inspiration for my teaching, and I know lots of times it isn't. I have hidden motives of my own maybe, and I'm really thankful to God for his mercy and forgiveness. The longer you teach, the more you see that you have to learn. And I guess I'm just thankful for the opportunity to live and grow here at Faith Builders.
$260 is for your encouragement. Be not dismayed when through the deep waters you go, when through fiery trials you go, be not dismayed. $260. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid by your faith in him.
anointed hand. When through the deep waters I call thee to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with thee, thy troubles soon lessen. Sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient to his foes. That's all the long hills
believe that song? Thank you. Let's pray. Father, help us to believe the message in this song and to live the way we should because we believe it. So, Father, help us to trust you and to follow you in all things, in every situation, not only today, but this school year. For your own honor and for the good of others and for your blessing. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want to make a comment about the expenses and the offering. A few questions. The suggested amount covers all expenses including meals. And I think should do this at 1:30 because I forgot about the workshop schedule and we won't be back together after 1:30. Okay, so we will do this at 1:30, and if you're not prepared for that, it's fine. You can give it later. Some people have asked about checks, and you can make them out to Faith Builders. And some people asked about sending later, and I know some boards do, and that's fine. Okay. Let's begin where we left off. What is apprenticeship, work-study, teacher training program? First of all, what is apprenticeship? What happens in apprenticeship? Well, the first thing is apprentices take classes. I know that surprises you. I'm trying to wake you up. Apprentices take classes. If you look on page 23, I just want to show you briefly, and the handout that you have also has a list of the classes, but not, well, at the bottom. May I have one?
This is not the one that's part of it. Sorry. Okay, this side of this sheet, the classes are on the bottom. You just got part of it, or all. But the classes are listed up here in the sequence in which they are offered.
But the number of classes, we have 17 classes. Apprentices take 2 per term, and they take them according to that sequence. That sequence took everything but a computer to figure out. Figuring out how to offer these classes so that you can start any summer or any fall and the classes come at the right time is almost a challenge. But that is the way they are set up there in that sequence. There are 17 classes, take 2 each term, and I know some of you, your minds are working whether this works out, and maybe it doesn't quite, but it will. Okay, yeah, we have ways of making this work. Why these classes? These are basic content classes and various subjects: English, literature, math, history, science, Bible, music. They are, I say, basic classes. Obviously, we've had people tell us, you're not doing anything. Well, we say, this is better than nothing. Our people will not, getting someone here to be an apprentice for 1 term or 2 terms, or a summer, winter, summer in particular, is as hard as anything you ever tried to do. And our point is, we don't have the privilege of having people for 4 years, and so we have to decide what is the most important thing. And this may not be the most important thing in every case for every person, but this is the best we can do at the moment with the time we have. So these 17 courses, this is a broad-based education, and we know quite well that some people might feel that, well, these classes don't cover what I want to pursue. I know some people, they want only history. Well, you can't get that here. Our goal is to help people gain basic content, take basic content courses, and then while they're here, to have them teaching in a class with an apprentice, with a teacher, an apprentice under a teacher. And well, our concern is as much that people practice, teach, and learn how to teach as gain content. The one thing you learn, if you're a teacher, you never know enough. There's always more to learn, and if you know how to read and know how to study, you can learn a lot on your own. And that's just the way we view it. So you see there the course sequence, which is really listed on page 22 in this book as well. So again, what the course sequence means is a person can come any summer and go summer, winter, summer, and finish. A person can come for a fall and go 2 winters. Or a person can come any summer or any winter, and you can come for a summer, winter, summer sequence, or come for a winter and then come the next winter. Okay, apprentices. Sometimes I forget that I have this over here. Apprentices
teach.
They spend, on page 14, and I'm just showing you where it is in here, where it says hours in the classroom. Now, the apprentices, they go to class 2 hours, about 2 hours a day, and take a class themselves. Then, that's under one. They take classes about 2 hours a day. Then, under two, apprentices, apprentice teach. That means they go to class 2 hours a day, and then they are in another mentor teacher's class about 2 hours a day, and they eventually get where they teach at least an hour a day. Now, one of the difficulties here is that we haven't quite, this is just being honest, we haven't quite figured out how best to train the mentor teachers. We're working on that, and neither have we learned how the mentor teachers can best apprentice the apprentices. We're working on that. We're working on a lot of things, but this is a challenge. I think partly because we are trying to do something that none of us has done, and maybe not many people have done, at least not in our day. And so we are working on this. I would like if Florence would come up. Are you here, Florence? Where's Florence? Oh, Florence, thank you, right here. We have our jokes, you know. Thank you for waking me up. Come up and just tell us what she did. She apprenticed this year in the first and second grade. And just tell us what you did.
I came here last summer and stayed for the summer term, then stayed through the year and again this summer, and I graduated on Sunday. I taught first grade math the entire year. I had two students, which was a lot of fun. I taught under Grace, and I found it very helpful because I could ask her a lot of questions on how I'm doing and what I need to work on, how I can make it more interesting for them, and how I can hold their attention longer. I spent about 45 minutes teaching that every morning. And then I was in charge of recess time 3 times a week, which was very interesting, and sometimes there were conflicts. And it was helpful to be able to go to another teacher and ask how you should deal with this, or how I dealt with it. Was it okay? Or how could I improve? Or how could I do it better or differently? And I also taught second grade reading most of the time. I spent half an hour teaching that. I only taught the boys. We had split the boys and the girls. It was interesting to watch them go from struggling to where they could read rather well. I think the class that I will find most helpful, all the classes I took were very helpful for myself, but the class I think that I will use most as I go to teach this year was the teaching reading class. I worked through that by myself, and learning all the sounds and which sounds are easier for the children to learn, which ones are harder, and which ones, if you teach them back to back, will confuse the child, and all the general rules that go with the sounds. One thing I found with teaching first grade, that especially with a small class of two, that it's very easy to help them too much, give them too much time, too much attention, and you'll be passing them on to second grade when they're really not ready to move on to the next grade because the teacher helped them too much. And I want to make a comment about something Milo said. And I've often thought of this throughout the year. I felt very privileged to be here, to study here. And I think that if more people would come here before they became a parent, we would not have so many hurting children or so many children who have trouble functioning, because the classes are so beneficial for one's own spiritual growth.
Thank you, Florence. Now I want to talk about apprentices are discipled. Florence will recover from that shortly. She already did. She already did. Teasing a little. Apprentices are discipled. Discipleship is, in our mind, is a conscious effort to talk about character deficiencies that make one ineffective as a teacher, as a Christian. And I mentioned this before, but this can happen in various ways. And just how to disciple is a little bit of a challenge to know how to do this. It's like if I would ask you who are married how you disciple your children. It's kind of, you need to think about it a little bit. We think about it here a lot. Apprentices are discipled, and what we're thinking about is whatever they're doing, whether it's teaching or in anything in life, to think about what kind of Christian this is, or what kind of character they're expressing. Why this emphasis? Because teachers teach who they are. I mentioned that before. Because the goal in teaching is to prepare people to live as Christians, and teachers must model this Christianity. That's the goal. And because students become what their teachers are, not what they tell the student to be. And I am trying to hurry a little bit here. Question of what is work study? Do I have a page on your sheet? No answer. Page 11, thank you. Okay, yes, page 11. Okay. Work study, I didn't read over this lately, but work study is, apprenticeship is what people do in the class when they are working with a mentor teacher. Work study is what we call this thing of providing a work opportunity for them. They can work in the bakery or kitchen, somewhere like that, and reduce their costs. Now, we have just introduced this summer. And we have four apprentices for the fall, three apprentices plus Monica Beiler, which she will talk about that in just a little. And these three would like to reduce their cost by working. So what we've said is they can work up to 10 hours a week at a set rate, and they can reduce in this way the cost of their room board tuition by 50% of the total cost. We're going to try this. Now, this is going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge financially for us, but it will be a challenge
as much in making the schedules work and making so the work gets done at the right time and they're in the right place to do the right thing in the apprenticing as they should be. I'm trying to see, do you know what I'm saying? Okay, good, it makes sense. The work study is a lot more complicated and difficult, more difficult than you might think. It's scheduling, it's planning, and here's where you get in discipleship too. You know, you are really supposed to be over here at this time, and you're not here. And you know you're supposed to be there. And this is not a severity thing. I don't think anybody's in pain this morning, today, over this. But these are just things that you have to kind of work at, that we do what needs to be done. So that's briefly what is work study. Okay, what do we offer? Summer classes, like we've had during the summers. And on the back of if you turn your paper over, you have the proposed summer classes for 1997. That's what we plan to do. We offer the summer, winter, summer apprenticeship program, which I've talked about. You can also take that in two winters. We offer workshops like this. There will be a workshop in March. I'm not sure that that's listed on there. Is that listed on there? Is it? Okay. Then there will be one in August, like it is this year. And next August, Edward Gish will take half of the day, each day for the week, and talk about principles of teaching. And the other half of the day will be workshops. D there, what do we offer? We will offer you assistance in finding a place to teach, seeing as how you really do need assistance. We get two calls a week on the average. We have since about the 1st of March. And we will continue to get those. It probably will increase in the next 3 weeks. And it will continue at the rate of maybe two a month until next March. And then it will come back to two or three a week. And we will have, just telling you, we will have a hard time keeping our apprentices here until they finish their course. We will. We will have to, I'm going to use a kind of a negative term, we'll have to fight to keep them here. Okay? I'm just telling you the demand is extremely high, and we don't have any bad attitudes about this, but we have to work at making sure people know what we're trying to do. We're not trying to put out fires. We're trying to prepare people to do something longer term. So we can help you in various ways, but and we can even find you a place to teach. What you can do to help us, you can become an apprentice. That's one thing you can do. Monica, would you come up here and talk a little, please?
The first class I took was back in 90 when I first came to Faith Builders, and the class that I was taking was Principles of Teaching with Dale Heise, and a verse that he threw at us that really challenged me and continues to challenge me, found in Luke 6:40, the NIV, a student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. And I guess I keep thinking of this verse as I teach school. I was teaching school 2 years out in Indiana, and now they've asked me to teach here, and It's kind of interesting. I'll be a mentor and an apprentice at the same time. What this means, I don't know yet. I'll find out. But I am looking forward to teaching here. I'll be staying in the dorms, which will definitely be a challenge to get along with the other staff that are here. And also, I'm hoping that the principles I learned there will be able to be applied in my classroom in teaching my students how to get along with each other and the importance of getting along with each other. And then in the classes that I'll be taking after school hours, I hope that my students can see the value in continued learning, that no, I don't know everything. I still have a lot to learn. So I'm looking forward to teaching this fall, teaching and living in the same hall.
Thank you, Mom. So Phil, you, would you come? And then Rachel, you.
Milo wanted me to share a little bit about what Faith Builders did to help my teaching. And then also, just as I was leaving, he said maybe I could say a little bit about what Faith Builders did to help me, too. I'll address that question first. Faith Builders is doing a fairly good job at what they say they're trying to do, I think. Discipling, I was discipled, and hopefully will continue to be. I also took classes that I was supposed to and learned a lot of things that way, which benefited my teaching in maybe a more roundabout way. But I think the most important thing that helped my teaching was not the classes that I took. I was taking classes, so happened, I was teaching history last year. I taught a junior high history class. And it so happened that the last quarter I was taking American history and a church history class. And both classes were falling around about a day, at different points in this quarter, were falling about a day behind what I was, a bit ahead of what I was teaching. So I was learning it and just teaching it right again. But that didn't help me as much as what the evaluation of other teachers helped me. Milo was not my mentor. Tim Kennedy and Melvin Lehman at different points in the year were my mentor teachers. And that was probably the most valuable learning experiences I had, was having them sit in my classroom and watch me teach and then tell me what I was doing right and what I was doing wrong. And that, I encourage you, each of you, to do that, to get your school board or someone, another teacher, something to do that. That's probably the best thing that can improve your teaching. Might seem kind of scary at first. I know I was scared the first day that Melvin decided he was going to sit in my class, or Tim too, for that matter. I was a little bit nervous, and the students probably saw that, and he did too. But it's very helpful. Then we would go, and then after school we would go and we would talk about what I did and what I didn't do and so on and so forth. We have an evaluation sheet that the evaluating teacher fills out. It could be things like having your hands in your pockets too much, like I just had here, and not being supposed to do that, or not using the chalkboard enough, or things like classroom control, or not addressing a question that the student raised right, or many different things, and positive criticism too, that you did this right, keep on doing that, or so forth, or something like that. And I think that's probably what helped my teaching here as much as anything.
My first year at Faith Builders, I taught second grade reading and second grade math. And I did some tutoring in reading. One of the students had a problem in reading, and so I tutored him. And then my second year, I taught the second grade girls reading, taught third and fourth history, and sixth grade math. And I did some in the junior high girls Bible class, and I did some music tutoring. And the thing that I liked about the teaching training is that it gave you step-by-step responsibility. Like, so I would go in the third and fourth grade history class, and first we'd start out with about, you'd have like a week to just observe the teacher, watch what she did, how she taught, what methods she used. And then she would have you make out lesson plans. You'd take her book and write in the lesson plans, look at the lesson first and make out the plans. She'd have you do some of the checking and you could record grades. And after she saw that you pretty well knew what you were doing, she let you make out your own plans and teach a class while she sat and observed. And like Phil said, you know, it gave you, told you good points and points that you needed to improve and stuff.